You're listening to SBS News.
Deanne Stewart says she's acutely aware of the need to address Australia's gender pay gap. Ms. Stewart says the fund manages $125 billion on behalf of 1.1 million members, mostly in the public sector, of whom two-thirds are female.
Look, it's so important because ultimately that the gender pay gap has a significant impact on the financial security of women. And that's not just for today, but it then has knock-on impacts for their future. There's not only the gender pay gap, but then that actually translates into a superannuation gap, which then means that the gap as women look to retire, they retire with up to 50% less than their male counterparts.
There's only been marginal improvement in the national gender pay gap over the past four decades. The Workplace Gender Equality Agency says the gap of 22.8% means women typically earn about $25,000 a year less than men. Over the last 7 years, Australia has fallen from 14th place to 70th on women's economic participation in the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap Index, despite ranking first on women's education. And the results of a recent survey commissioned by SuperAware offers a better understanding of why. More than 1,500 people were surveyed in January and February to establish just how companies are implementing gender pay equity policies. A third of those surveyed said the organisation they're working for does not have a gender pay equity policy in place, and a further 44% had no idea if their employer had such a policy. Ms. Stewart says those figures are disconcerting.
I think it starts with transparency, quite frankly. Employers publishing their gender pay policies, their gender pay gaps, but then also, secondly, publishing the percentage of women that they have at a group executive level. Because I think transparency, it has to start there. Then from that point on, what are their policies and how are they actually looking to close that gap? And then ultimately what you want is for employers to close the gap and for there to be no gap.
Will Strack, Assistant Secretary of the Victorian Trades Hall, says there are flow-on effects from women being in a poorer financial position.
We know from the work that we've done here at Vic Trades Hall that 60% of working women have experienced some form of gender violence in the workplace. We know that one in five have left the job because they don't feel safe. We know that sexual harassment is an epidemic. We know that the systems and structures that exist at the moment are not working to curb that. And we know that businesses are not taking these things seriously. There is a long way to go before we can say any of those things are resolved.
Every sector has a pay gap in favour of men, with the Workplace Gender Equality Agency finding women were hardest hit during the pandemic, as about 60% of frontline workers like teachers, nurses and shop assistants are women. Ms. Strack says these roles need to be revalued and laws put in place around the country to oblige employers to enact workplace gender equality policies, similar to Victoria's Gender Equality Act 2020.
There are two ways to achieve change. There's the carrot and stick. There's the carrot, which is if you do this, you're doing the right thing. And in addition to that, if you are creating a more diverse workforce and a more diverse workplace, actually all the studies show that diversity improves outcomes for organisations. So you're actually delivering a good outcome for your organisation. But in addition to that, if you're not inclined to think about those things, we also need the stick. We need to have legislative change that will hold organisations accountable to principles around gender equality.
For Afghan women newly arrived to Australia, finding employment is incredibly difficult. It was the situation Maryam Zahid found herself in at the age of 15 when she fled war in Afghanistan for Australia. That experience led her to set up 4 years ago an organisation called Afghan Women on the Move in Sydney to support women and families from war and trauma backgrounds.
The war that leaves this big hole in your heart and your memory and traumatises you, and trauma lasts forever. And for me, too, when I first came to Australia, the first thing that I realised that at least I don't have to depend on male guardians to protect me and for me to be a woman and human being. So that was the first thing that I realized coming to Australia. But again, we also have here our own challenges in a contemporary society as well. My day job involves working with victims of domestic violence, and I know how much it's it's happening here as well, with different forms and shapes.
In December, the group began a partnership with Victorian non-profit Sister Works to help refugee and migrant women to find employment. Ms. Sahid says it's been heartwarming to see the response.
How many Afghan women are very entrepreneurial? They want to say they have so many multitask kind of approach to their vision and mission. You know, Mariam, I want to do this and I want to do that. And but it just, again, it just falls on that systematic given opportunities to how they're going to accommodate these women. Because a lot of times you will be placed under the name of refugees and pushed on the Centrelink payment, and there's not much on how to address their needs in a more specific way.
She says much more needs to be done to alleviate the Afghanistan refugee crisis, more than 6 months on from the Taliban takeover of Kabul, where women's rights have quickly regressed. Fines Gavanzo, who came from the Philippines to Australia a decade ago, her work as chair of Gabriela Australia has taken on an increased urgency during the pandemic. Since 2018, she's been campaigning for a change to the family violence provisions under the migration regulations to include temporary visa holders, which would allow survivors to transition to a permanent visa without needing the visa sponsorship from an abusive partner. During the pandemic, the lack of support meant migrant women who survived domestic violence were deported or forced to live with their abusive partner to have a valid visa.
So even during the pandemic, we have received a lot of calls where women are at a loss what they will do. Some of them have to go back to their abusive partners because there's nothing that they could access.
Australia's gender gap in median earnings for full-time employees is at 12.3%, which is below the OECD average of 11.6%. Ms. Gavanzo says migrant women experiencing domestic violence are not picked up in the statistics, which means funding and service provision is also lacking, with sometimes life-threatening consequences.
Even the statistics that is being captured at the moment, where it says one woman being killed by a male partner due to family and domestic violence, that doesn't include the migrant women who are on temporary visas. It's very frustrating because it is a rich country that should accord the same services for all women. You do have these services that are already in place, but why is it that it doesn't include us?
With the theme of International Women's Day in 2022 being gender equality today for a sustainable tomorrow, Ms. Gavanzo says any chance for progress means everyone, everywhere, must stand together.
Sisterhood is about international solidarity. We cannot just say that, okay, we're better here because we have all these, we have this great women's movement who have been pushing for reforms, who have been pushing for change and all that, but then not looking at our sisters in other parts of the globe.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.